Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good Tuesday afternoon. Welcome into Grant and Danny. It's April 2nd, 2024. You are listening live to 106.7 The Fan. We are taking you all the way up to 6:30. A rare full show around these parts the last few days where we're in studio for 4.5 hours. All four of us are here. The band is back together. We will be giving away tickets to see the DC Defenders when they open their home slate. First game at Audi Field in 2024 is Sunday afternoon. We got tickets for you on The Fan. If you want to go to that game, we got a four-pack we're giving away in 2 hours ahead of the Beltway Blitz at 4 o'clock. Ladies and gentlemen, Danny Ruye.
Hey, buddy. Let's grab our axes, chop some wood today, boys. Regularly scheduled program. Plenty of stuff to talk about going on in the world of sport. Nats had their home opener yesterday. The NL East, it's a bit weird right now. The Braves are killing everybody. It's very early, obviously. Two teams have no wins, and two teams are 1-3. It hadn't gotten off to the kind of start maybe a lot of folks anticipated. Emphasis how early it is, because it's very early. But it's a real shame to see the Mets down there at the bottom of the division. It just hurts the heart.
The only thing that's really surprising to me is the Phillies' slow start, frankly. But otherwise, and the Mets aren't going to be very good. They're a 500-ish team. The Nats and the Marlins. The Marlins were the luckiest, least authentic playoff team ever last year. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs again. And we kind of know what the Nats are in 2024. Basically, right now, it's the Braves and then not much else. The Phillies should make the playoffs as a wild card. They have been an NLCS mainstay last couple of years.
I think they will.
October contender, but they'll get back into the postseason. But that's it. I mean, it's kind of those two teams and then a big drop-off.
Yeah, and it's early season results are always so funny. Pittsburgh looks like a juggernaut. They're 5-0, as everybody predicted. The Yankees are 5-0. The Tigers are 4-0. Just always funny for, you know, because all we have are these little teeny tiny samples that we're going to have 1,000 times more than this over the course of the next few months, and everything's going to change and settle into where it's supposed to. But it's always kind of fun to look at early season stuff like this.
Nats home opener yesterday was a blast. First of all, getting to hang out with a bunch of listeners yesterday before, during, after the game. Really, really good time in the Navy Yard. So if you're one of the folks that we chatted with or who came up and said hello, we appreciate you. Thank you. It was a great day over at Nationals Park. Thoroughly enjoyed myself. Now, it wasn't as fun that the Nationals got beat 8-4, and the highlight of the game having been maybe the two-run homer from Riley Adams to tie the game at 3. It was downhill from that point forward in the seventh inning, but great day at the ballpark. I could have gone for a little more warmth, I will say. Could have gone for a couple of more runs probably from the good guys, and maybe lesser weights for food. And stuff at the ballpark.
Yeah.
I'm always reminded, because basically the last few years, I've had the ballpark to myself. I go there a lot, and there's just not that many people there. But on the big ones, like yesterday, when they have 40,000 fans for opening day, I don't know what it is, man, but the lines at that ballpark and getting anything, takes a really long time.
So a few notes on that. Yeah, I could have used a couple different things with the game itself, like less hits maybe for Pittsburgh. They had like 15. And those are the kind of games that Mike Rizzo, who you and I have gotten to know over the years, and David Martinez too by extension, they don't love. Not because the other team wrapped out a bunch of hits. Game a little sloppy, right? You end up no errors for the Nationals, but Eddie Rosario kind of like conducting science experiments a couple times in left field. Trey Lipscomb on some fairly routine plays, throwing it three quarters of the way to first base, bailed out by some good picks by Meneses and company. Not a clean ball game for the Nationals. And those are the kind of ones that grind Rizzo's gears there. But in terms of the stadium experience, we were there in section 106 by the Red Box, kind of hanging out after our show, watching opening day, having a fun time. And so the line's close to us, understandable, because it's right by that center field gate and really that left center field gate too, right? So those are the two main entrances the most number of people go in typically when they come to Nats Park, because that's where the Metro is, that's where it lets out, and that's where people go. So the lines right there for all the food stands were really, really long, and they stayed long pregame, first couple innings, etc. So I was like, well, let me just see, just because I'm kind of doing inventory here, right? I walked around the whole ballpark. Just to look, right? A, to get some steps in because I'd already eaten something kind of fatty. And B, just to examine the situation. I walked everywhere you could walk in the ballpark. Said hi to a bunch of listeners. Great. Everyone's vibe was great. Everyone was having a nice time. There was not a single place that provided foodstuffs, from a kiosk to a stand to a regular concession stand, et cetera, that didn't have an enormous line that wasn't moving. People at the back basically just going, screw it, and then taking off and either going back to their seats or trying something else. I'm not smart enough to know what the fix is. I don't know the answer. I don't.
I got the fix for you. It's going to be fixed for the next home game. The fix is 40,000 people becoming about 10,000 to 15,000 people, and that's going to be the case more often than not. So it'll be the last time this season probably that I have to deal or you have to deal with it.
You may be right, but that's not a fix to me. That's a thank goodness we don't have to deal with people wanting to come to the game anymore.
Yeah, when they're playing another October game, I don't know. I mean, it's not like they have fewer employees or something, but yeah, it is definitely, with the new rules especially, a real problem's probably too strong, but it's something they got to start considering, because when you leave to go get your hot dog or your food and there's a line and it's slow to moving, you miss 2.5 innings with the new pace of play. Just eating to come back and sit down to watch more baseball.
Yeah, and Ryan brought this up before the show, and I think he's totally right. They don't have a hot dog vendor going around, whereas most ballparks do. You can get plenty of alcohol, plenty of like this mixed vodka drink, crushed ice on this thing, which is cool, I suppose, if that's what you're into. But there's no hot dog guy going around. I would have opted for that 50 times over, probably.
Yeah, Ryan brought that up, and I have not thought of that. I think he's on this. I think he's right. It's been a while since I've seen. You go to Camden Yards or pretty much any other ballpark, it's part of the noise of the game is hot dogs, get your hot dogs here. You know, they got peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Yeah, they got a million guys in the concourse yelling about a different beer or a seltzer or something like that. So mobile ordering didn't exist, I guess, or they're not doing it, or something else happened.
Now, I will say, maybe I was wrong about that, because the mobile ordering thing I used a lot last year. Yesterday, I was like, oh, I would love mobile ordering. I haven't been a big fan of that, and this is not a Nats problem. This is just anywhere. You know, they put 100 boxes out with food, and then you go up and you grab it, and your fries are soggy. And I'm sure they care about the quality of get up there, order, they serve it to you right then and there, and it's a much better experience. So maybe that's why they got rid of the mobile ordering. But it was a great benefit on a day like yesterday, where at least you could just walk up in the concourse, and someone, you know, and just hands you the box, and you show them your QR code. And it's over, rather than the 40-minute wait to get food.
Yeah, and again, I don't know what I don't know. I don't know how to fix stuff. I know, like, I'm the kind of person I can go sit at a traffic light and watch the other lanes go for, like, 3-4 minutes and go, I don't know how to fix that to optimize traffic patterns, but I know this sucks. I can kind of tell you that. That's how it felt like. I'll tell you this. If I was a casual fan, you and I are not. We're in a weird category. We host sports radio shows. So you might think that we care maybe more than the average Joe. But if I'm a casual fan, and I spent almost $27 on a burger and fries that I waited 40 minutes for and missed two innings of baseball, that's not a good experience. I'm not likely to want to just sign up for that again, you know, after I paid for my ticket and went to this experience. And again, we're piling on, the workers, and I'm not. It's not one person who's like, you know, not sprinting back and forth, fulfilling every fry order. But that's systemic. When every line in the entire place was really, really long and not moving, There's something bigger going on than one stand was slow or one credit card machine wasn't working or something like that. I think a lot of people had a tough experience.
Yeah, we were hearing from a lot of listeners about it yesterday. But we never know what's going on behind the scenes, where after the fact you'll hear, oh, well, our machines were down for 20 minutes and it backed it up all day, or you know, whatever the case was. Mm-hmm. But by and large, I will say the fact that there were 40,000 people there is a really good thing. They sold the joint out. It's been a while since I got those vibes while at a Nats game.
Yeah.
The weather especially was not pretty. It wasn't great. It rained for most of the morning. They didn't take batting practice. It was chilly. Like, it wasn't warm by any means.
Mm-hmm.
You had to jacket or coat up while you were there, and as the game went on, it got a little more cold. So it wasn't like they got some beautiful, pristine, you know, Chamber of Commerce postcard day. They had to deal with weather and hope that people showed up, and they did, and it was a good day to be at the ballpark by and large. Today, DC Sports on the schedule, we got a double dip. We'll start with the Capitals because it's the more important of the two games from a postseason standpoint. The Caps have a big one, buddy. Buffalo Sabres host Washington tonight up in New York. The Capitals increase their chances of making the playoffs to almost 80% if they can win this game and get 2 points in regulation without allowing Buffalo to get any points. Caps game on Thursday night is back at home against Pittsburgh, which will be huge. They've got the Hurricanes on the road on Friday, back-to-back later in the week. We're at a point now where they're playing playoff hockey.
Pretty much.
I was there over the weekend, and it was a legitimate playoff game between the Caps and the Bruins. They ended up losing in a lengthy shootout. But you could just feel the vibes in the arena of spring hockey. These 2 points are not going to be really any more important come the playoffs than they are right now as they're trying to get in. But tonight is critical, especially after they got no help last night.
Right.
The Red Wings won a game I didn't think they were going to. The Flyers got a point in a game I wasn't sure they were going to. So last night did not go the way the Caps wanted in terms of the out-of-town scoreboard.
Yeah, you can't leave it up to anybody else. And I know that sounds like tough guy talk, but you have no this. You know, this game is so crazy when it comes to those sorts of things, right? If you looked at Washington over the last couple of weeks, you'd go, oh, my God, they got Winnipeg. Well, maybe you can get 2 points elsewhere. Nope, maybe the best game of their season. Or Vancouver came to town and everybody scored touchdowns in that game. You never know. You got to handle your own business. And the Capitals have done themselves a favor. They've gotten themselves into a position where they can handle their business. If you beat a team that I think you're better than in Buffalo, goes a long way, right? I still think their best path is probably catching Philadelphia. They're a point behind, but I think they've got 3 games in hand over the on the Flyers. I believe that number is correct. So that, to me, is where I'd be focusing my attention if I'm just, you know, keeping track of the standings. But the Caps, just handle, beat the teams you should beat, play like you did against Boston, steal a point out of there. I think they'll end up being in pretty good shape.
Yeah, they are, even with the Red Wings at 82 points. And the Red Wings have played 2 more games than them. So I would say, mathematically speaking, you know, they probably have a better chance of beating Detroit. But in terms of getting into the playoffs and having a favorable matchup and maybe, you know, winning a first-round series, I do think you're right about, you know, getting in via maybe beating the Flyers and then being one of the top 3 teams in the Metro and having a chance against a familiar foe that way. But yeah, they got a pretty good mathematical chance in either direction right now. That's why if they win tonight, we're talking about almost 80% likely.
Man.
No, the conversation in town is, are they going to make it? Are we sure? I think that's because people are waiting for the bottom to fall out, right? Where they've lost a couple in a row. They got the 1 point, thankfully, by getting overtime against the Bruins. Like, if you lose this game tonight in regulation 4-2, then you lose to the Penguins 3-1 or something. Well, now you've lost 4 in a row. You've got 1 point in 4 games. And if that were to happen, they would probably then be sub 50% or right around 50-50 to get in. And it seems like that is maybe what people are nervous about, because I don't think they're completely buying in on the team being as good as it's played lately. But the numbers are the numbers here. If you look at moneypuck.com, a difference tonight of basically 23 percentage points one way or the other in a swing of getting into the playoffs, where right now they are at about 67%. If they win, it's up to 79. If they lose, it's down to 56% to get into the playoffs. And even an overtime win, obviously, or a shootout win because of the 2 points is massive. But you do it in regulation, it's that much
it's more that much helpful. Better. Yeah, I mean, by the way, it's not crazy, I don't think. You may disagree. I don't think it's crazy for fans to be a little bit skeptical, because there's a bigger sample that said this is not what this team is. And you probably shouldn't be playing this well with a bunch of, you know, AHL Alvins who are coming up and maybe punching above their weight class a little bit without maybe, you know, some true star firepower, et cetera, without some of your most highly paid best players at various points. So Tom Wilson's still suspended. You probably shouldn't be playing as good as you are. But it's kind of thing where the rest of us, I would say, for me, I'm enjoying the ride. Like, the fact that I'm getting meaningful hockey when, what would you say, maybe a month ago, I didn't think that was possible, I'll take it. Like, I feel like I'm, I don't want to say it's totally house money, but I'm probably closer to that maybe than some.
Yeah, it certainly feels that way. I just think what they're getting to do now with the vital games at the end of the season, and it would be even more to this extent if they made the playoffs, is really invaluable to the young guys.
Agreed.
And just the experience that they'd be getting, because they should be better next year. They'll have money to spend for going through this year when it could have been like last year.
Yeah.
Where they just didn't get to play in important games like this, and they didn't benefit from that. No TJ Oshie tonight for the Capitals is the report. So you have no Tom Wilson, no TJ Oshie. It seems like they just can't keep their most important players on the ice as well during this massive stretch of the season. Mentioned the Wizards are also in action tonight. The Wiz are at home. They're hosting the Milwaukee Bucks. Damian Lillard is not going to play for Milwaukee in this game. The Bucks are closing in on 50 wins. They're 47-27. I actually thought Milwaukee would be better than they are, but I still think they can kind of hit the switch, hit the NOS button, come the playoffs, and come out of the Eastern Conference. But I would have guessed right now at almost 80 games played that they would have already had 50 wins. But they haven't quite been as dominant as I expected.
Yeah, they missed that Jrue Holiday ingredient of being a great perimeter defender, maybe locking up the other point guard. They traded it in for big-time shot-making, right? Having Damian Lillard to do a logo three with 2 or 3 seconds left to give him some more, you know, potential offense maybe in the postseason. But yeah, it's a slightly different team. Their ceiling, I think, is probably the second highest in the Eastern Conference, I think behind Boston. But they're still really competitive, still really, really good. They have that, what's that guy's name again? 7-footer who takes one dribble from the midcourt and dunks it over everybody. Oh, yeah, still got Giannis. So they're still pretty competitive.
They are locked into the second spot in the East, pretty much. They are 3 games in the loss column ahead of the Cavs and the Knicks, 8 games to play. So I would think they don't have a lot to play for tonight, but I would also say this is one of those games where even if you're not getting their best bullet where Giannis plays 44 minutes or something like that, they also know that you can't lose this game.
Yeah. They'll harvest their nuts, as Eddie Jordan said. I know a lot of folks haven't tuned into it, and I get it. We have a bigger fish to fry, and there's a lot else going on. Have you taken a gander at the Western Conference of the NBA?
Sure.
Just as over the last couple of weeks? Like, everybody's separated by basically a game and a half, and everybody's good. Everybody's playing well. Everybody's competitive. You know, basically LeBron and Steph Curry, their respective teams, are in the 9 and 10 spots, basically just fighting to get into the play-in tournament. It's wild how deep the Western Conference is. All the stars, everybody's playing well.
I'd love for the Lakers to not make the playoffs.
Wouldn't it be fun?
That would be great.
It'd be neat.
There's so many people that wear Lakers jerseys.
With cowboy underpants on.
Also like the Yankees, you know?
Yeah.
They don't need another playoff appearance, I don't think. LeBron can sit this one out, wait to play with his kid, right? He doesn't have to go back to the playoffs.
You don't go through the grind again if you're not going anywhere. Like if you're just cannon fodder in the play-in tournament or something.
We got tickets to the DC Defenders home opener at beautiful Audi Field. We'll give those away in about an hour and 40 minutes, right at 4 o'clock ahead of the Blitz today on Grant and Danny. In just a bit, I want to play some audio on Cliff Kingsbury and the best fit for his offense among the quarterback prospects via ESPN. And we'll get into that on G&D on the Fan.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thank you, Earl. Welcome back. Grant and Danny on the Fin. Darris and Ryan on the production as always today. Kick off your future with the law firm of Kundori and Murad. They are the official G&D show sponsor. They will help protect your assets and update your will and trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com. Mention us to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Yesterday, the Commanders announced the signings of three more free agents. Very minor, kind of back of the roster type deals, but we can go through them one by one quickly here as they've been added to the depth chart officially. At running back, Jeremy McNichols. Jeremy McNichols played at Boise State. He was originally drafted in the fifth round back in 2017. He debuted in San Francisco. He's bounced all over the place. The Colts, the Jags, the Titans, back to the Niners. This past season in San Francisco, he played three games on special teams but didn't get any touches for the Niners. His last carry in an NFL game was actually way back in 2021 when he ran the ball 40 times for the Titans. Not sure if he makes the roster, Danny, or not, to be completely honest. But they bring him in to create some more competition at running back where they've got Austin Eckler and Brian Robinson and, of course, Chris Rodriguez, who they drafted in the sixth round last year. So if they keep four running backs or if they have an injury to any of those big three, I guess McNichols would be the next guy up.
Yeah, the style of running back here, right? Not necessarily the between the tackles grinder, but the guy that's there maybe to catch a couple passes out of the backfield, a little bit more versatile, a little bit less smash mouth, sort of seems to be. I mean, I can't remember a ton of reps from him. He was always, you know, he stuck behind Derrick Henry for a couple of years. So it wasn't like he was, you know, getting a ton of looks, but has been around some pretty decent offenses or behind some pretty good backs. But yeah, to me, this is a numbers game, probably looking uphill at his chances to make the roster, but, you know, it can't hurt, certainly.
Local guy coming back home in Olamide Zaccheaus. He was a wide receiver at the University of Virginia. He's actually originally from New Jersey, now 26 years old. But Olamide Zaccheaus, I know him best from the Falcons. That's where he was for 4 years, catching passes mostly from Matt Ryan. He was with the Eagles last year and targeted 20 times, caught 10 balls in Philadelphia within the division. He actually does have a decent chance, I think, to make the roster. I want to talk about the wide receiver spot with you today because I want to dive into whether or not this is a need or a want. But you've got McLaurin, who's outstanding but coming off of, for what it's worth, in his only year under Bieniemy, the worst year of his career. You've got Jahan Dotson, who regressed substantially last season, who I'm still high on and I think is much better than the performance last year and the production last year. Again, we could just kind of blame Bieniemy and assume he'll be better, but now there's questions. I was so wrong last year.
Same.
On Jahan Dotson. I don't think I was more wrong about anything with this football team than the first rounder out of Penn State going into year two. So you've got him, you've got McLaurin, and then the most established, proven guy on the depth chart is Zaccheaus. Maybe as your outside guy opposite McLaurin, if you're kicking Dotson inside, you still have Crowder, the punt returner they brought back. Former third-round pick Deami Brown is still around. Dax Milne, who was hurt last year. Mitchell Tinsley, who made the team and was just kind of an inactive player most weeks. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the depth chart at wide receiver at this point. So in this moment, Zaccheaus is definitely on the roster and might even be their third guy.
Yeah, I mean, opportunity is certainly there, right? The other guys, as you said, McLaurin's established. We know that. The other guys are holdovers from a previous regime, and I don't know, there's not going to be much loyalty towards Deami Brown. There's not going to be much loyalty towards, you know, some of these other guys that have been real productive. So Zaccheaus is not a real big guy, listed at 5'8", you know, 190-something, but, you know, probably smaller than that. So it's not much in terms of possession, not much in terms of, you know, winning jump balls or kind of being tough in traffic. But I think he's got enough speed maybe to be a deep threat. I don't know, though. I wonder how this offense will deploy with Kingsbury and company.
The other of the additions is a guy we actually did mention on the show, if you were listening yesterday when we were live at Nationals Park ahead of the home opener, opening day in D.C. broadcast. But Jeff Driskel at quarterback signed to presumably be their number three. The 30-year-old who played at Florida and La Tech is former drafted QB, sixth-round pick, who's actually played more ball than you'd think. He's started now a dozen games. He's gotten into 24 games since 2018. Last year with the Browns, he played in one game. He started. He went 13 of 26 for 165 yards, two touchdowns, and two interceptions when they were in that state of flux. So basically, they had the Deshaun Watson injury. Mm-hmm. They thought they were going to go to their kid rookie. It didn't work out. Driskel, before they found Flacco, got a quick look-see, and then they went and signed Flacco. But here's the book on him. This is a guy that runs and is athletic, and you can do some designed keeper stuff with. Now, in his one game last season with the Browns, right away, he started to try to show off the feet a little bit. And it's kind of been part of his game all along. He ran seven times in that one start for Cleveland, ran for 150 yards and 20 attempts with the Lions when he was playing a bunch back in 2019. So it kind of sticks with that theme now where they go get a dual threat, so to speak, in Mariota. They go get Driskel, who's a runner. If you want to see that they are working their way toward Jaden Daniels and three guys who can execute some designed quarterback runs, you could see that pretty easily now if you want to.
It's hard not to notice that now. Again, whether it leads to Daniels or otherwise, I don't know. But it's hard not to notice that both guys who are slotted to be backup quarterbacks in some order, two and three, presumably Mariota two and then Driskel three, are mobile guys. That's hard not to notice. Now, in general, by the way, just as a philosophy, this has nothing to do with Peters and Newmark and anybody else. This is what I would do for my backup quarterback. I would have my backup be a guy that in a small sample can maybe make a couple plays. You can't live all season long having my quarterback take off every third and five, but coming in relief in a game or having to start on short notice or something, I would have an athletic option as my backup quarterback. Not someone that I want over 17 games doing all that kind of stuff, but I would have a Mariota-style player, a Driskel-style player to kind of come in relief, regardless of who my starter was. But I don't know that they think it that way. I think NFL teams think in terms of convenience an awful lot. And what you do with your starter, you want to be able to do with all of your backups and sort of have these guys look like watered down and worse versions of the dude above them on the depth chart. There's credence to that now that you've got Driskel in the fold.
More on the Commanders coming up in just a bit on G&D. Thursday, I'm debuting a new Capital show. It's an altcast that we are going to be doing over on Monumental's alternate channel. So if you have Monumental Sports on television, You watch Joby and Locker on the primary dial. Not unlike a Manning cast opposite Monday Night Football, myself, Bruce Boudreau, and for the first night, Tariq El-Bashir, who's a Caps insider for Monumental, are going to be hanging out, sitting on couches, watching the game, Manning cast style. We'll have guests each period coming and going, and we will be basically just discussing what's going on in the game. It'll devolve into some story time with Uncle Bruce Boudreau a little bit as well. He is hilarious, just great personality. Hanging out with him a bunch lately as we've been ramping up for this has been a lot of fun getting to know him. But Thursday night is the debut, and they'll be doing this. That Monumental announced this. I believe it was official yesterday publicly. But the Wizards and the Capitals will both be having these casts. Our guy J.P. Finley is going to be on, I think, some of the Wizards casts. Mm-hmm. They're bringing Steve Buckantz back into the fold. To sit on the couch and talk Wizards basketball. So they'll have three Wizards games, I think five Caps games down the stretch here, and it opens the door for some big possibilities maybe going into next sports season to do this more regularly. But with the Caps in a playoff push, taking on the arch rival Penguins on Thursday, watch Joby and Locker. But if you want to click over and see what we're yapping about, should be a really, really fun thing.
Number one, stoked for you. I think that's really cool.
It's going to be a blast.
That is number one. Number two, yes to this. I love this. I love it. I love this. I love this as an idea. Now, I generally, when I'm watching Monday Night Football, I don't do the Manning cast. I need the regular football stuff, but I know that it's for somebody. Does that make any sense? Like, some people want an interview with some dude awkwardly done by two non-professional broadcasters during the game. Right. It's like, how cool is it that, I don't know, Joe Rogan is sitting in with the Manning brothers or whoever your celebrity is. That's not for me. I like football, but I totally understand that it is for some. This kind of thing is what people should be doing. This is what broadcasters should be doing. This is what television networks should be doing when it comes to this. Find different ways to serve the same dish, basically, right? Like, what are we majoring? We're talking about the Capitals playing the Pittsburgh Penguins. Please and thank you. Yes. I love the idea of having something slightly alternative, right? The idea of having a couple of guys chop it up on the couch. The way everybody, when they were a kid, were like, why isn't there a broadcast where people, like, say real stuff? Why isn't there, instead of doing play-by-play, why isn't there a broadcast where people, like, talk to each other and, like, complain and curse? This is a big step towards that.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly right. I mean, this is... Look, we're constantly trying to find out what's next. And mm-hmm. I think from an RSN standpoint or local television, the game is always going to be what's most important. And the call of the game is always going to be massive. You know, we've seen where occasionally networks will try to have the game be more conversational like mm-hmm. that. And I hate it. You know, ESPN with their Sunday Night Baseball at one point was, I don't know, they might still do this, I don't know, but like, live interviews, not with players playing in the game, which is awesome, but like with just zooming in people and do like that is altcast territory.
Mm-hmm.
That should be for the casual fan who's enjoying the conversation, who's keeping up with the game because it's right in front of you. So you'll see the game, then there's this really cool like L bar with different stats they're dropping in, and you'll see us on the couches, more of me in high definition than I'd like or you'd like, but Boudreaux and Tarek and Devontae Smith-Pelly, a Cup hero, is going to be with me doing these games as well. So, I mean, I am so fired up. It's something that for a couple years, frankly, since I saw the first Manning cast, I have kind of been thinking about this is something locally we got to figure out a way to do. And over at Monumental, you know, they are several steps ahead of us, and we're putting this all together. So I think it's a big win for the crew over there.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time on a local level that you're going to see teams, games broadcast this way. And what we do here, radio is better than in so many things because of the authenticity of it. So there was this guy that came up to me, one of our listeners, at the Caps game the other night. And he's like, this is really awkward, man. He's like, but I know everything about you. He's like, you don't know anything about me. I've got a few questions. I'm like, okay. He's like, so what is your over-under on, you know, Tendies and Coke Zero tonight? And then he was like, asking me about Fiona, you know, and I'm like, he's like, I feel bad, man. I'm like, don't feel bad. That is what our platform is. Like, that means we're doing a pretty honest show. I don't keep secrets, you know.
Yep.
You know the names of my kids, and you know, when I'm at the doctor, you know why. And this is the platform. When you watch TV, people in suits read off of a teleprompter for 2.5 minutes at a time, and then they move on to the next thing with an awkward transition. Like, this is a different thing that we
yep.
do. And you don't get it in a column or in the newspaper. And I think what TV is figuring out is to have real personalities, being authentic.
Smart point, I think.
Saying real things, you know, not just off the teleprompter. Like, this is what plays. This is what people are more interested in. That, like, I wish I was there eating wings and drinking bourbon. I walked into the room. We did a rehearsal the other day, and Boudreaux's like, are we allowed to drink? I want to bring in bourbon. I'm like, I don't think we are, but that would be awesome. But like, that's kind
but
of the just, vibe.
Yeah, but that's the point, right? Is it, what are people doing when they watch Caps Penguins? You might have a cocktail. You might have an adult soda, God forbid. You just, as you said, that relatability, I think, is now more tantamount than ever, right? I mean, you look at the media landscape, right? Who's thriving? Who's not? What everybody's trying to copy? What everybody's trying to figure out? As you say, it's not a secret why the Junkies are wildly successful in, you know, closing in on 30 years doing a radio program in a major media market, right? It's that very thing. It's that relatability. It's that they talk to each other the way buddies are talking at home during a playoff game, and they bring it to the radio, and it's perfect, right? That sort of vibe, as you're saying, is something I think TV networks are going, oh.
Yeah.
So not talking at somebody, almost talking with them.
Me out of the equation, though, notwithstanding, because I'm a real smart part of this whole thing. I just think it's good for DC sports fans. It's a cool idea
yes.
to be trying something. At a time, every network is spending less money. Every place is doing less. You know, you and I want to go somewhere. It's moving mountains, right? I mean, to just have somebody trying something is cool.
All in.
And I'm excited about it. And then selfishly, obviously, as someone who grew up a huge fan, living and dying with Bruce Boudreaux's decisions on the bench, to sit next to him and my buddy Tarek El-Bashir doing this, DSP, a Cup hero, when he's in with me next week, Really, really cool. So first game is going to be Thursday night, Caps Penguins, the second channel for Monumental Sports if you want to dabble over and see what we're up to for the Altcast. G&D on the Fan. Did you watch any Caitlin Clark last night?
I caught a little bit of the end, yeah.
I want to get into that. And we still got to talk about this idea of whether or not the Commanders should be trying to find a fit for Cliff Kingsbury or just taking the best prospect as we continue on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Here's Clark. Clark pulls up another deep one. He's good! From the Final Four.
Caitlin Clark once again dancing with the basketball, seeing it go through the net.
Last night, Iowa took down LSU in a rematch of one of the most watched women's college basketball games in history in the Final Four a year ago. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Caitlin Clark of the Iowa Hawkeyes scored 41 points to beat LSU. And me and Danny and so many other people who very rarely watch women's college basketball checked it out. I was watching last night. Now, I will say this is not the first time I've watched her this year. I've never really, if I'm being completely candid, like looked up a game, found out what time and what channel. But it's one of those things where if I'm flipping through and I see Iowa women's basketball, I will stop and watch. It's like a good movie on TV, Shawshank Redemption or something. Right? We were at West Palm Beach in spring training. The Nats got delayed on that Sunday afternoon. I think they were playing USC or something, one of the best teams in the country. And we were in Charlie and Dave's booth, and I sat there and we all kind of watched the game for 10 minutes. Handful of times like that this year. She's a marvel. I mean, this is Steph Curry of the women's game. She steps across the timeline. You've got to pick her up at half court or she's going to just hoist from somewhere. She is in the camp with Steph and probably nobody else. Maybe Dame Lillard, who's not playing tonight, by the way, if you're going to the Wizards-Bucks game. He will not be in action at Capital One Arena. But no bad shot team. Like, they're all right on the... There's no such thing as a shot your coach will get mad at you taking if you're Caitlin Clark, Dame Lillard, or Steph Curry, or maybe two or three other people on the planet. But she scored 41 last night. And I think there were people that were watching because she's amazing. I think there were people that were watching because her and Angel Reese seemed to hate each other's guts last year, although everything was on the up and up this time around. Mm-hmm. But I think people were trying to see, if you guys forgot, like Angel Reese, after they beat Iowa, followed Caitlin Clark around pointing at her finger like several seconds after the game, which was pretty unprecedented. I think Caitlin Clark got in her face at some point during the game, if memory serves as well. But cooler heads prevailed. She scored 40. Iowa moves on to the Final Four.
So I tuned in after, you know, I just got home for the Nats game, watched the end of the Orioles game with my wife, and then said, oh, they're playing. That's right.
A walk-off bomb for the Birds, by the way.
A little 0-2 for Jordan Westberg by the Lopich.
Jordan Westberg was like the ninth highest upside player moving forward that they have.
Must be nice.
An awesome future. He'd be maybe the best young national. Like, probably with Trey Lipscomb. Maybe a tick above Lipscomb, big picture, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not the point.
Just a casual game winner. Any hoodles. But I tuned in to see if there'd be any dramatics. You know, I did. I have no interest otherwise, to be frank with you. I don't care one way or the other. There's a lot of sports I don't care about. But I remember last year, I thought it was callous and over the top and ridiculous. And then so too were the defenses of people where you rub it in someone's face. Don't do that in sports. Don't rub it in people's face. Don't show people up. Don't be rude. Don't be a jerk. And then there are these defenses of it that were, you know, sort of logical pretzels and twisted like that. So I wanted to see if there was something like that would happen, right? If LSU won again, or if Iowa won again, if she might do a look at my ring now, you stupid. I have no idea. So none of that happened. There were 9,000 timeouts. I didn't really love it, but I tuned in because, as you said, there's more gravity to that one than your normal, I'd say, Elite Eight matchup for me with the women's basketball.
She is unbelievable. Caitlin Clark.
So I only saw her hit a bunch of free throws at the last couple of minutes, but...
Well, you missed the display.
Yeah, well, the stat line of 41 points and 12 dimes tells you she had a nice afternoon.
There were 41 points to choose from there for you. I've never seen anything quite like it in the women's game, but that is my comp. I'm sure I'm not the first person to come up with this. It is Steph, honestly. We saw the three-point shootout between Steph Curry and Sabrina Ionescu, who went to Oregon and who plays now in the WNBA at the All-Star event this year. They got to do the same thing next year, and I want to see Caitlin Clark against Steph Curry. I believe Ionescu shot from the men's three-point line, too, in that contest, which made it more impressive. But apparently I was talking to someone. It was Chelsea James of the Washington Post yesterday. And I was like, you know, I actually think because Ice Cube offered Caitlin Clark $5 million to take part in the Big Three, which I'm guessing she's going to turn down, I'm assuming, and she'll go play in the WNBA as the number one pick. But I was thinking, why couldn't she be successful in the Big Three? Gilbert Arenas on his podcast and a bunch of people are saying essentially that, well, she'll get D'd up and these physical former NBA players will just get in her face and whatever. And my point is, she could shoot from half court, it seems like. So unless you're going to pick her up, like, when she's not even at half court yet, and I know it's a half court
game. It's a half court thing, yeah.
But you get what I'm saying. Like, if you're 10 feet from the three-point line and you can still hit a shot, now she's not going to hit them all. Maybe she only shoots 20%. But I think if she's the third member of a team and she just stands out there and shoots, I think she could have some success doing that.
And Chelsea's point back to us was you would use a men's ball, which is a much bigger factor than you and I. We're like, really? That's a big deal? She was like, yes, that's a huge deal.
Surprises me a little bit. Yeah. I get that the size of the ball is different. I know that. By the way, there have been two controversies. Maybe that's not the right word. But... earlier in the year, I saw that they used a men's ball in a women's game, which I don't know how that happens. And then did you see the story where the three-point line was wrong in a tournament game that just got played?
Oh, yeah.
Like, one of the teams was shooting on a three-point line that was several feet closer, inches maybe,
right,
like a foot closer.
But it's even eye test noticeable.
Right. A guy noticed it from the 400s. That's how they – do you know that that's how it came about?
Uh-huh. He's like, hey,
took a picture of the court, and he's like, wait a second.
Does this seem
– this arc looks closer to the rim than that one. After four games had been played, they figured this out. That's insane.
Oh, it totally is. Totally is. Not great, Bob, is the only way to think about that. But so I have no idea. Those kind of weird, not weird, those kind of like hypothetical sports debates of like, I remember years ago, would Brittany Griner play well in the NBA? I was like, no, that's not a thing. No, stop that.
I'm not doing that.
No, I'm not saying you are, but I have no idea.
She was offered $5 million, and I'm saying, take that money, go play in the Big Three.
Give it a shot. Like, the washed up Antoine Walkers of the world, right? The guys that are like out of shape and like barely hanging on.
You don't think she could score on Baron Davis, who's like 50?
Yeah, like,
come on,
run around a screen or two and hit a step back, maybe. I have no idea, but any hoodles. Yeah, I wonder what it's going to do though, big picture, because what everybody loves to do that's already in on something, right? Is when new people come to watch just for this oddity, they're like, we've arrived, we've turned the corner, it's now, everybody's going to care all the time. I don't know if that's going to be the case here with the women's game because of this superstar.
I think there's a good chance that it will. And more people are watching than ever before, and you learn about the freshman or the sophomore on mm-hmm. Iowa, and maybe you get hooked. That's something we can come back to later in the show on Grant and Danny. Next, right here on The Fan, top of the hour, should the Commanders be trying to find a fit for Cliff Kingsbury's offense or just drafting the best quarterback and forcing Kingsbury to adapt to that QB? I want to get into that. We got tickets to Audi Field and the DC Defenders at 4 o'clock here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.